Raptors win! Raptors win! Get out the salami and cheese, mama! This ball game is over! There you go, folks. It's all good. It's all good.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode six of the Untitled Raptors Podcast. It's your host, Talibin Akshay here, and we'd like to thank you guys all for listening and tuning in again for the 6th week in a row. Wow, 6 weeks and we haven't given up. That's pretty good. That's pretty darn good. Isn't it right, Akshay?
Yeah, that's 6 more weeks than I thought we'd do, so that's good. How was the weekend?
It was good, man. It was pretty good. I went to see Trevor Noah last night.
Oh, did you?
Oh, he's phenomenal. He's really, really good. Also makes me want to question that my accents on anything is actually not good at all. So obviously he was really, really entertaining. And then obviously watched Raptor Ball today, but also watched some football yesterday. And today, yesterday, obviously me being a Cowboys fan was sad, very sad. But today being a Raptor fan was, to be honest with you, sad. But we'll go about that as well. How about yours? How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I just watched a lot of ball. I went to a gym class on Monday that I usually do not go to, and I was sore till Sunday.
What is a gym class? What do you mean like a gym class? Like at a high school? You went to a high school gym class?
No. At work, they had like a free gym class of ropes and rowing. So it was like a circuit gym class.
This at work?
Like it was with one of the gyms nearby. They were trying to get more members, so they gave us a free class. It's not going to work because I can't afford that membership. It's at Equinox, which is $200 a month.
Oh, that's peanuts for us. That is not that bad, not that expensive.
Okay. Yeah, $200 a month for a gym membership. But the gym was very nice for $200 a month. So I went, they had like the circuit gym class. It was really good. But I was sore and I went to play basketball today. I was definitely feeling it. But other than that, I watched some ball, hung out with some buddies yesterday. Did some work. Prepped for this podcast, you know, our usual weekend prepping. Other than that, everything else was normal.
Yeah, just to let everyone readers know, we do prep for this podcast. We do try to organize it a little bit, you know, we try a little bit. We're not all the way on the fly as always. We have some sort of structure. But let's get to the structure, Akshay. What do you say?
All right, let's do it. Let's start with some likes and dislikes.
I don't even know where you're sitting at. Like.
Likes and dislikes.
Likes and dislikes. So 3 games this week. Atlanta at Toronto. So a game that the Raptors decided to play down to their competition, which is my dislike. They definitely should have played Atlanta much tougher. And although Atlanta was coming in and playing pretty hot, like I can't remember what their streak was, but they were playing pretty well. So that was definitely my dislike, that they played down to the competition. My like for that game, Kyle Lowry's screen.
Oh my God.
He took out – who was the player he took out? I can't remember.
Collins? I think it was John Collins. Yeah, it wasn't Trae Young. I thought it was Trae Young for the longest time, but I don't think it was Trae Young.
He took out – no, it's John Collins because Collins was guarding Serge, who got the bucket, right? He just took him out. Oh my God. That was like, that's one of those definitely does not show up on the box score plays, but that won him the game.
You know, I almost wonder if it was, and just to go on that point, I wonder if it was someone else other than John Collins, like I'd say like a superstar, would they get like an offensive, would Kyle get an offensive, foul for that? I mean, it was a legal screen for anything matter, but like, you know, they, sometimes they're so sketchy about these screens. You show up, put one elbow out or when, if you stick your butt out, or like Serge does these screens and he doesn't get called, but they're all offensive, like they're illegal screens straight up. Serge commits the most illegal screens in on the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, he also, JV sets a lot of them too, but JV is such a big body. He's like a force when you hit him. I don't know. I think at that point in the game to call an illegal screen at mid court is a tough call for a ref to make. You know, it wasn't even on the ball, really.
No. It was, you, if you guys haven't seen this, take a look at the last possession of the game, and you may see Kyle Lowry on your top, in your left hand corner. It's a left hand corner. It's like a small piece, and you'll just see him lay John Collins out. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, and then basically John Collins is guarding Serge, who gets an open dunk because John Collins is on the floor at center court.
My dislike is going back to Serge. Is Serge got dominated by Atlanta? He got dominated by John Collins. Like John Collins took a hit, but he was phenomenal in the game. He got dominated by the ATL bigs. They just wrecked him apart. And this is when we actually miss Jonas Valanciunas. My like, you know, there's not much to like other than the play you mentioned. I thought it was a very like choppy game. I loved Vince Carter. Vince Carter returned. It was awesome to see the reception that he's got getting. I'll admit it. I wasn't a big fan when I was on the boo Vince Carter bandwagon for a while until probably a few years ago. He realized the potential and what he's done for the city, for the country. So I'm all pro Vince Carter now. So I changed in that respect. Also, Linsanity. But talking about Linsanity, 20 points, 9 assists. Bring him to Toronto, man. Linsanity to Toronto. We need him.
All right, so if you can get one of – Vince is also – let's just hypothetically say Vince is retiring this year. You can get one of Vince or Linsanity. Oh, my phone is going off.
That's really professional right here. Really professional. Guys, this is what you call unprofessional podcast hosting, all right? We've got Akshay here just having his phone on. Who actually uses their phone? Who's calling you? Is it like Rogers calling you for a new number or something? Like who actually calls you?
No. My parents call me. That's anyways, I turned my phone off now. So you have the choice between getting Vince for the remainder of the season for nostalgic purposes or getting Linsanity for actual playing purposes. Which one do you want?
All right. This is again. If we lose Lowry or we lose a point guard, I want Linsanity, otherwise I want Vince all the way. I want the vet. We need like a vet in there to come in. You know, like a Derek Martin. Who remembers Derek Martin coming in there?
Vince is going to give you nothing other than him being Vince, and it'll be nostalgic, and we'll cheer him in the last 5 minutes of garbage time.
That's what we want. All right, let's go to the next game.
All right, Brooklyn at Toronto, 111-92. So I liked that they controlled the whole game. I felt like it was a solid. We're a good team. We're facing a not so good team. Who plays pretty hard, and they just control the whole game. I don't really have a dislike. I was digging for a dislike, so I just left it out.
Yeah, I think the same one. This one, I think that my like was good coaching. All right, we saw in the beginning of that game, we saw D'Angelo Russell decide to go ham on us again. I don't know what this guy has against us. He always goes nuts on us, and then you see his like stat sheet for every other game, and he's like, okay, he's shooting like 40%, 30%. With us, he decides to like play good basketball and play like a number two overall pick. I think he was a number two overall pick. But the good coaching was that we kind of forced the ball out of D'Angelo's hands and let the other Nets beat us, which is the best part because there's no other Nets. And the other Nets are our very own Damari Carroll, who airballed a layup. Oh, guys, airballing a layup is one of my favorite things to watch, I tell you. It's like watching Akshay in the gym almost every time you play a ball. Airballs a layup. And then airballs a layup. That's what you know, and you're really bad.
Yeah, no hops left. Damari Carroll went 2-for-9 that game and showed us every reason why he's not on the Raptors anymore.
He got stripped by Pascal Siakam, which
was
awesome.
So bad that game.
Yeah, he was a tough one. He was a tough one to watch.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no dislikes in this one either. So,
yeah. Toronto at Washington. That was the game that went on today. A win, a very, very stressful win of 140-138 in double overtime. My like was having a superstar. There's only so many ways I can say Kawhi Leonard, but he was phenomenal. He got a double-double, 41 points. Just absolutely carried the team to victory today on both ends of the court. And you know what? The funny thing is, he's a superstar that even when they need a closing defensive stance, he gets the assignment. He may not get the best player assignment throughout the game. Like today, Danny Green got Bradley Beal because it's just exhausting to chase somebody around and do offense. So they have a very capable defender in Danny Green. So he takes the load for Bradley Beal. But when it came down to crunch time, Kawhi Leonard was on Bradley Beal, right? So it's amazing to have a superstar for both ends. My dislike was they just couldn't stop anybody in the second half. They allowed 74 points in the second half. Partially, it's just that Washington got crazy hot from three. They made 19-44. So, I mean, if they're going to make 19 threes, they're going to be in any game making 19 threes.
Oh, that is some James Harden stats right there.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's true. He does that on himself.
19. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. All right. So I'll start with the dislike. Dislike, as you mentioned, you know, I think allowing 19 for 44 threes is just a little tough. The perimeter D was really weak. So that was definitely, unfortunately, we let them back in the game in true Raptor fashion. You know, we can't close it up. I think we just get too complacent. We're like, oh, get too easy, relax, take it easy, thinking about the next game. And all of a sudden, bam, they're back in it. Really good part of the game. There are two things I'll talk. One is Bradley Beal in overtime. Now, he was hot leading up to the fourth quarter, third, fourth quarter. In overtime, we kind of like brought him down. Danny Green was on him, forcing other players to win the game, which didn't work, which was really good. The last play of the game, watch Serge Ibaka makes the shot, but he makes a fake pass. I have never seen Serge make a fake pass to anyone. This is the first time I see a fake pass and actually works, and he hits a three. That's confidence from Mafuzi.
Mafuzi chef. So those are likes and dislikes for the week. Talib, tell them who we're sponsored by.
As we approach the beautiful month of February, some NBA fans know it as the month of the All-Star Game or the NBA trade deadline, or Raptor fans know it the day Serge Ibaka became a Raptor. But in reality, it's a month of love, a month where love blossoms into something so special for certain people, very certain. If you would like to meet someone this upcoming Valentine's Day and not be as lonely as our co-host Akshay here, you need to accelerate those right swipes by getting those right pictures. With the expertise at tinderphotography.ca, you too can get the absolute candid shot. Tinderphotography.ca is a local leader in candid photography and proud to sponsor the Untitled Raptors podcast.
Solid read. I have to mute your reads. I have to mute my mic when you're reading so I don't laugh. You promised the accent this week. You didn't do it. I'm kind of glad you didn't.
I'm scared. We're only like a minimal downloads. I feel like if I insult like one, two downloads, we lose like 20% of our audience. And it's like, yeah. God. So I'll wait on the accent until we get a little bigger. And then maybe I'll have some confidence on that.
Yeah, you can just insult me in the meantime. That's
a lot easier. It honestly is. It's like if anyone's ever met Akshay, it's really easy to insult him.
We're done. We're done with this. Let's move on to agree or disagree.
Lowry scoops it up. Lowry lets it fly. Kyle Lowry makes it.
Agree or disagree.
All right, agree or disagree. So we're going to do agree or disagree for general NBA today. So I'm going to ask Talib a question, and then I'm going to ask him if he agrees or disagrees with the question, and then we'll kind of banter back and forth on it. So Talib, agree or disagree? The Boston Celtics, who we're playing on Wednesday, it's our next game for the Raptors, are a top three team in the East. Do you agree or disagree?
Oh, that's a good one. Yes, Boston Celtics are a top three team in the East. And I'll tell you why. I think the Boston Celtics have the tools and the players in their organization that elevate in the playoffs at the time, right? Kyrie Irving specifically, I think, is an NBA superstar. They have the talent. They just need the time to gel together. Now, some of the players were injured last year. Gordon Hayward was injured. Jaylen Brown was playing a lot better last year, was taking more of a role. They just need more time to get used to their roles and honestly need like a coach to tell them. That's what I think it is. They need Brad Stevens. I'm not too sure on how he's doing on coaching this team, but I think they are a top three team. They are a team to beat right now in the NBA. They're very good at home. They're 15-5, I think, or something. So if you're a 15-5 team in the East, you're top three, man. East, I think it's like number one, in my opinion, is not the Raptors. I think it's the Bucks. That's just giving you a right there.
So you think they're going to end up third over Philly and Indiana?
Yeah. I think they will. I think in the end term, they'll figure it out. They will be. They're a top-class team. I hate the Celtics. I hate everything about the Celtics. And the most thing I hate, like, it's like when you feel a Raptor fan, you hate the Celtics because of one man, and that is Paul Pierce. Watching Paul Pierce drain threes after threes has destroyed my faith has made me hate the Celtics as much as it is. But when you look at the numbers, when you look at the talent they have, they're a top three team. I don't know how far they'll go in the playoffs, but top three team in the East so far.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, I disagree. I think they're going to end up four or five. I think they're going to end up as I think either Philly or Indiana are going to overtake them or stay ahead of them, which they are right now.
Do you think they're going to get like some who do you think is going to represent Boston in the All-Star game?
They have one player.
Kyrie? Do you think anyone else gets it?
No. You know what? I was actually, without getting too off track, I was kind of thinking it's really interesting. If you look at the top teams in the East, there's not like in the West, it's always been like the top teams get like two or three All-Stars.
Yeah.
But in the East, like you could make an argument for just Kawhi in the Raptors. I don't even know if you could make an argument for Kyle Lowry because he's been so up and down. I know as an everyday watcher, he is an All-Star, but as a general NBA fan, looking at his stats of 14-9 or whatever, it doesn't pop out to you. Yeah. You can make an argument that Giannis is going to be the only one from Milwaukee. You can make an argument that Kyrie is going to be the only one from Boston. The only team that I think is going to have multiple All-Stars is going to be Philly.
Such for bullshit, sure. Too. Yeah. Like, if they get three All-Stars, it's going to be the most ridiculous thing in the world. Like,
I don't think they're going to get three. I don't think they're going to get three. Anyways, back to the Celtics. I don't think they're going to end up third just because I think that they, unlike the Raptors, have a lot of people, a lot of players who need the ball. The Raptors have the same thing. They do have a lot of players who have a ball handle, but they're better shooters. And this year, the Celtics are just not shooting well. Outside of Kyrie, everybody else is shooting the three, not at a high level. Terry Rozier has been terrible. He's had a 49% true shooting percentage. Tatum has been really bad. He's getting better. And I also think this is the first year that Brad Stevens actually has expectations. He's always had an excuse, or he's always just had a bad team, so he's coached them up. But now he has to go from being... He has elite expectations. I think this is the first time he's had elite expectations, right? So last year it was Hayward goes down, but a bunch of young guys, no expectations again, right? So this year the young guys actually performed, and you've got Hayward, who isn't that great yet this year, averaging like 11 points. And you've got Kyrie, and you've got Horford, who's really good as well. So I think it's interesting to see how he responds actually having expectations this year. This is the first time in 5 years I'm hearing some Brad Stevens buzz. You know, like it's always.
I think they are one significant injury away from being very good, and it's a horrible thing to say, but it's almost like you're absolutely right on the ball handler situation. They're top three because they have players who can make things happen, right? But if they lose, suppose one of the guys in the starting lineup, Kyrie's out for 2 months or something like that. I'm telling you, Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, these guys are bona fide ball handlers. They can play well. They've shown in the past. They are the backup plans for this Boston Celtics, which is really, really good. I mean, if you're like Danny Ainge, you're probably looking at trade pieces because these guys should be able to fetch you a lot now than anything.
So you actually think that if they have an injury, that they're going to be better, that there's too many cooks in the kitchen right now?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I think if they get an injury, they'll be way better. But, I mean, they have a lot of talent. They are a top team. So you can't deny that. Like, they are a top team because of all the picks that they had and how they've grown those picks into like players like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. You know, it's things you do when you fleece Brooklyn Nets.
They're finally getting their picks back. Oh, Brooklyn. Okay, next one. Do you agree or disagree? Sam Presti, who is the general manager of the OKC Thunder, is secretly worried about Russell Westbrook's shooting this year.
No, I don't think he gives a shit.
Really?
I don't think he gives a shit. Now, Russell Westbrook has been shooting absolutely atrocious. I'll let you dive into his shooting. But I think Russell Westbrook brings the entire team together, right? Without him, his acceleration, his fast break points, his assists, he's one of the top defensive point guards in the league, right? He gets around like, I think, two or three steals a game, and that leads to transition points. Now, his shooting is horrible, I'll say, from the three-point line, even mid-range almost, but he gets to the line. He gets to the hoop very, very often, and he uses his big men really well. So I think Russell Westbrook, his goal isn't to be a very, very good shooter, just because now you've got Paul George, who's there to take those three-point shots and the big shots. Russell Westbrook's there to distribute, create the offense flowing, and do the work for, I say, 46 minutes of the game. The last 2 minutes, I think the ball's got to go to Paul George.
Really? I think it's a big concern for them. I think, you know what, everybody keeps talking about how Russell Westbrook is like changed this year. He's given up the ball. He's giving it up because he sucks at shooting this year. Like that's...
He is shooting. He's shooting, I think, what is he, like 29%?
23%. He is... So this is... I'm not taking credit for this. I was listening to Low Post. Zach Lowe made a point. Russell Westbrook, in history, is the worst high-volume three-point shooter right now. He is shooting 23% on 5 attempts a game. That is really, really, really bad. Like, the next closest person is to 26% in history who's shot that many threes. Like, so I don't think Russell Westbrook is going to shoot 23% from three for the whole season. I think he's going to bring it up a little bit, but is really, really bad.
So you sent me that list of the list of players all time shooting like really poor shooting, with shooting more poor 3-point shooting, but shooting more than 5 3-pointers a game. It's pretty interesting. I was looking at this list, and a lot of the players are from the 2000. Like, there's quite a few significant players from the 2017 to 2018, like the last 2 years, just because the increase of 3-point shooting has led to some really, really bad numbers.
Yeah, and I think the big thing was a couple of years ago when they started instituting this 3-point shooting mentality, all the coaches were like, just get good shots, don't worry about the makes and misses, because they wanted to institute culture, right? But now everybody is shooting a million threes. Everybody's got the same shot spectrum. They're trying to get the same number of threes, same number of twos, same number of free throws. So if you actually lower your efficiency on the threes, it affects you now.
I think the biggest issue for Oklahoma I don't think it's Russell Westbrook's threes, but I think it's his peers' threes, right? When you've got players like Dennis Schroeder, who's also shooting, he got off of like 31% from the three point line. Patrick Patterson, remember Patrick Patterson? Raptors fans remember Patrick Patterson. Patrick Patterson is shooting 30%, and he's taking a lot of 3-point shots. And these are your 3-point shooters who are not making them. The only guys, there are two guys on that OKC team who have relatively good free 3-point shooting games. One of them is Paul George, superstar. The other one's Terrence Ferguson. This is a poor 3-point shooting team. And I think they've learned to embrace that really well, because they play really, really good transition defense. So if they're ranked really high in transition defense, if they're playing really good transition defense, they can shoot poor, because they know they have the defense to back it up. That's why I think it's Russell Westbrook's not that bad.
Yeah, no, they have one of the best defenses in the league. That's why they're third in the West, because of their defense. It's not because of their offense. So I don't know. We'll see. We disagree on this. I definitely think that it's a concern for them. And I actually think a big part of Russell Westbrook's maturity of not shooting this stuff is that he's not shooting it well, so he's giving it up. But we'll see. Hopefully he turns it around and really they go deep into the playoffs, because I actually think they're the only ones who can really match up well with the Warriors. I don't think anybody else matches up with them in the West.
No, the Dallas Mavericks, dude. Dallas Mavericks. You even see the Dallas Mavericks today? Luka Doncic going crazy? Oh, the Warriors are nothing. We need more Luka in this world. That's what we do.
What did Steph get? 48, right? 48 or something?
48, but Luka, we worry on Luka.
I know.
But one thing Russell Westbrook hasn't... one thing that hasn't decreased is his fashion choices. Wow. Oh my God, I could go on forever. This is unbelievable. I don't even know what I watch half the time. Whatever I see on like Instagram half the time. I don't know if it's clothes, what he's wearing, or he's wearing something that's like something even Akshay wouldn't wear on Halloween.
I do not wear a dress up for Halloween, so that's true. Have we dressed up? Does he have a different outfit every single game?
Yeah, every single game. This is a new thing in the NBA. Like, everyone has like different outfits. I feel like these guys use their clothes once and that's it. And they use it for like probably like 10-minute walk from their car into their locker room. Like, it's not even a 10-minute walk sometimes. It's like a 5-10-minute walk. That's it. Right?
No, they use it for the 2-minute post-game interview too.
Post-game interview, and then it's like, oh, you can't wear that thing again. It's on Instagram. It's on social media. You won't see them wearing it again. That's why Kawhi is the best. You know, he wears like New Balance. Every single clothes looks the damn same thing.
Yeah. No, they. Did you see Kyle Lowry give him shit for it today?
Oh, did he?
Yes. He asked him if he was wearing Burberry. And then Kawhi said, "No, it's New Balance. You stupid." He said he called him stupid and told him it's New Balance. Anyways, let's do some Take That for Data. It's Talib's week.
My guys dug in that game and earned the right to be in that game, and they did not even give us a chance. That's unacceptable. That was unprofessional. Take that for data. I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up. Explain it.
Take that for data.
All right. So this week's Take That for Data, we wanted to go a little, branch out a little bit more. So we've branched it out into something, a different team, a team that holds a dear place to our hearts because it's a team of DeMar DeRozan, San Antonio Spurs. Big shout out to Frank for giving this thought, and we dug into it. Hopefully have some answers for why the San Antonio Spurs have changed this year. So I'll give you an example. San Antonio Spurs started the league with, from October to approximately mid-December, they're one of the worst teams in the NBA with 11-14 rating. 11 wins, 14 losses. They ranked 29th in half-court points per play in the defensive end. Transition points, 29th in the league, letting around 134 points per play per 100 possessions. Really bad. Defensive field goals. They were allowing opponents to shoot 55%. Turnovers, forcing only 12.6% in turnovers and steals. So, and the three-point shooting was average. I'd say 38%. So that's normally where the league hovers around. So what actually changed for them? So now they're one of the top teams in the West, numbers-wise, defensive effective field goal percentage, where I said they were shooting 50, they were allowing opponents to shoot 55% from the field goal. They're now allowing 49%, which is second in the league, which is really good. They are half-court points per play, they are third in the league now. They're allowing only 90 points per 100 possessions. So these are small things, but what has actually made the difference? There are a couple of things here. One, starting lineups. They had a player by the name of Dante Cunningham was starting the lineup up with Rudy Gay, DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, etc. What Pop did is we inserted Bryn Forbes into this. Now, Bryn Forbes is a very good three-point shooter. He's a young guy shooting 50% from three-point land. So what that does, it injects a little more three-point shooting into a lineup that's not exactly three-point shooting. Now, DeMar DeRozan is not shooting any three-point shot. If I read this correctly, I think he shot like two threes, or I think he's attempted two threes. He's not shooting it. I think Pop's made it very clear that he doesn't want him shooting three-point shots. Play his game. That's what it is. Second, Paul Gasol was injured but returned recently, so you got some help on the rebounding and the defensive help. But the biggest difference is on the defensive end. The defensive end is Pop basically during that bad stretch, the Spurs defense was a square defense, which is basically they played the man right straight up, right? They would switch on the pick and there was no help defense. Basically trusting their players to play D man on man D without any help. Now that's a tough one because as Raptor fans, we know DeMar DeRozan needs the help. He's not a really good one-on-one defender. And Pop was playing the same mentality that he used to do back with Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard. You don't need the help defense because you have premier defenders at that spot. So obviously with the players that they had right now, they were unable to do that. DeMar was getting blown out all the time, getting easy layups to the bucket all the time. So what happened was Pop implemented an ice defense. Now what that does is it ices the pick and roll. So if you're an offensive player and you have a pick coming, your defensive Pop puts up a pick and roll icer. So what that means is that he forces the opponent to go right instead of on a left pick. And that freezes the entire play and forces a mid-level jumper, basically a pick and pop, what Kyle and Serge do. But obviously the field goal percentage for mid-range field goal percentage for his most power forwards isn't that good, Serge being the only exception. Lastly, they're also shooting at a ridiculous three-point field goal percentage. They're top three in the league, so they're shooting at approximately 48%. But they shoot only 22 three-pointers a game. In context, the Houston Rockets take 44 threes. So that's a big difference. Now, when you're shooting your three-point percentage at a very high pace, you get less transition D. So if you're shooting your three points at a 48%, 50%, you're not going to get the missed threes that result in poor transition defense. Now, I'll give you an example. Atlanta and Detroit shoot at 29 and 28th in three-point percentage. Their transition D are 29 and 28th because their volume of defensive plays they have to play is very high on transition because they're not making shots, so their defense is always under pressure. So overall, a few things. San Antonio's improved three-point percentage factors into it. A new defensive scheme implemented by Pop, allowing players to talk and communicate and helping their man-on-man Ds. And lastly, Bryn Forbes into the starting lineup versus Dante Cunningham. That's Take That for Data this week.
All right. Had no love for Derek White killing it?
Derek White as well. I didn't want to put Derek White in this reason, but yes. If you're looking at players, they've got Derek White, and I think Forbes is unbelievable. I think he's a fantastic player. And obviously you have Marco Bellinelli, who's a lights-out shooter.
He just never, like, he's always there, just doing his one thing, shooting threes off the bench. That's it. You know, team picks him up all the time. He always helps them.
If you have a player like that who's consistently shooting and not exactly demanding or doesn't need an extra role on the team, dude, you take that all the time, right? Like I was talking to someone today and we're asking about what player would you love on the Raptors as much as it. And I was like, look, a 3-point shooting, someone like Kyle Korver would be amazing. Good 3-point shooting, moves it on team to team, but that's all you need him to do. One role.
Yeah, but he can't play defense. I'd rather have an Ariza type.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, that was good. That was interesting. Lots of good details there. You know, I really love Pop because Pop has only survived in the NBA because he has the ability to change. And he changes so much. Like, if you look at his teams, it took them years to get rid of the stigma that the Spurs were a boring team. But they were only boring for the first like 5 or 6 years of Pop being there when they had Tim and David Robinson and they had like the Twin Towers approach. The second Robinson left and now Manu and Tony became the face of that team, they were a pretty exciting team to watch. They started moving the ball and everything. And then they had Kawhi and they started to play to his strengths. And now they have DeMar and they're hiding him on defense. And that's playing to his strengths, right?
And it's not a bad thing. I think it's a really good thing. If you've got a poor defender, you've got to play certain defensive zones and coverages that help that defender, right? Like, you can't force him to play a game that he's not well adept to. And that's what they're doing really well. That's why I think Pop's – you're absolutely right on that. I think Pop's changed his game, and he's very modern day. As in, like, he allows his players to play in the beginning – evaluates it, and they're like, okay, what do we need to adjust? Let's adjust it piece by piece and slowly work the numbers out. It's amazing to see what San Antonio's done. I'm excited for this Spurs team. I think it's a fun team, but it'll be very interesting to see once that 3-point field goal percentage comes back down to earth. That's a big one.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down, but maybe it won't come down as much just because they aren't taking bad ones, right? They always take really great ones with only certain
shots.
Players. So I don't think it's going to come down to earth that badly. We'll see. Okay, great. That was good info. I'll have to do a good job next week. Okay, prediction time. We got three games this week. Raps at Celtics Wednesday, Suns at Raps Thursday, Memphis at Raps Saturday. Hey, we both guessed 3-0 last week and they went 3-0. The funny thing was though, I thought Brooklyn would be the hardest game. And then that'd be the easiest game.
Yeah. I thought Brooklyn was gonna be very hard too, just because they play very fast paced. And they shocked me in that one. I think they were just so upset about the Atlanta game. These guys came out of play.
Yeah. So what are you going with this week? I was going with Raps at Celtics, even though I kind of shat on them earlier. But I think they're going to beat the Raptors this week because they play well at home. And I think the Raps are kind of due for one of those games where you just don't come out well. And then Suns at Raps, I think that's going to be a win, and Memphis at Raps, I think that's going to be a win. So I think they're going to go 2-1 this week. How about you?
Okay, I've got Raps at Celtics. I've got Celtics winning this one. I think Celtics have had some horrible games in the last little while. I think Miami and Orlando, where they got into like some tussle with some, like, I think more than Marcus Morris pushing away Jaylen Brown and some like internal drama. I think this is the perfect time to come together for these guys, and they're going to come out very strong against the Raptors. So I think the Raptors will get beat on Wednesday. I mean, if Raps win, amazing, but I think this is going to be a tough one. Suns at Raps, I think the Raps taking this one. Should be an easy win, but I think Devin Booker's still injured, so don't hold me to that. Memphis at Raps, the Raps taking this one as well. So I have 2-1. Memphis is an interesting one. I just think I feel bad for Memphis, just because this is a team that is very similar to Toronto, where they have a hard time attracting good players. and they've kept the players, like they've drafted good players, but they haven't drafted like superstars, right? So
yeah. Wait, they attracted Chandler Parsons though. Come on.
Oh, Chandler Parsons. And then they had to pay him $30 million not to come to show. This is my favorite. They signed these guys to like these 4 or 5 year deals. And then after year two, they're like, we'd like you to stay away from the team.
He's healthy too. And they're not letting him play.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's that bad that they won't let him play. Anyways, that's another podcast topic. Where in the world is Chandler Parsons? all right, Talib, where can they find us?
I think they can find us at the Untitled Raptors Instagram, on our Instagram page in that sense. So please follow us if you can. Please leave a comment on this podcast, wherever you're listening to, wherever you get your podcast from. We're available on Spotify, SoundCloud, and on iTunes. So please leave a comment and give us a review. Any recommendations, suggestions of things that you want us to look into a little deeper with data or more analysis, we'd love to look into it. So San Antonio was a recommended topic by one of our listeners, Frank. Thank you, Frank, for that great insight. I got to learn a bit more about San Antonio defense and structure a lot more. So it was a great learning opportunity for me as well.
All right. Yeah. Just before we go, I'll give one last shout out to Frank because he told us another thing this week that I screwed up last week. So last week I couldn't remember what the term was for when Shams sends a tweet out. It's a sham wow. like the towel, right?
I don't think that's ever gonna stick.
Yeah,
it's not gonna stick.
I'm on board with the sham wow.
No, that's not gonna stick, man. That's not gonna stick at all, man. It's a Woj bomb or the Shams tweet. Woj bomb is what it is. A sham wow just sounds just weird.
It's a Woj bomb and a sham wow. All right, that's enough for this week. We'll see everybody next week. Any last words, Tal?
Nope, that's it. Have a good week, guys. Enjoy your week.
All right. See everybody next week.